this morning we're going to continue. I thought we would start looking at something that's in God's word, but I'm pressed in my heart that we should just continue. Is there everything that we ought to teach when we're looking at a particular area of scriptures that we can really finish teaching? So a lot of times we suspend, then we move on to something else, and then we'll come back to it maybe later at a later date. It's not really everything. So it wasn't everything that we finished looking at in this series, but we just see one or two other things to just tie you up this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be looking at being filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And I want to try and be as practical as possible. So I trust God that I will say some things that were left unsaid. Ephesians chapter 5, I read from verse 17. It says, wherefore being unwise, sorry, I'm hearing, is it echo? What's that? Okay. It says, wherefore being unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always. Say always. Say always. So speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we've already explained the fact that the word psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is one word. That means it means the same thing. That implies that when it says speaking to yourselves in psalms, which are actually hymns, when it says a psalm is a hymn, it seems to tell you what I'm calling a psalm is something that ought to be sung. It doesn't mean it can't be chanted, it just means that it's primarily sung. It says speaking to yourselves in psalms, which are hymns that contain spiritual songs. A spiritual song is a song that speaks of the revelation of our redemption. So if you're speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, what will be the content? We looked at that at the vigil. We saw the fact that the Holy Ghost came because of the resurrection of Jesus. And so the resurrection of Jesus is the basis for you and I being saved, being born again, for you and I having the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus spoke to us or talked to his disciples before he went to the cross, in John chapter 16, from verse 12, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. Look at that, John chapter 16. So that I won't just quote everything. John chapter 16 and from verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So we notice something, that the Spirit that will come will speak. Or the primary way the Spirit will express himself is by speaking. But Jesus said, when he is come, and he already told us that it is to our advantage that the Spirit comes. Because if I don't depart, or it's to your advantage that I depart, if I depart not, that's verse 7 of this same chapter, the Spirit won't come. So we explain, what does it mean to depart? It means to go by way of the cross to the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. It means to accomplish the work of redemption. So the Spirit is given because Jesus is not just risen, but by his resurrection, he accomplished the work of redemption. Say amen. So when it says he will guide into all truth, the truth is referring to is the reality of your redemption. That means the Spirit will be a witness of what Jesus has accomplished and what he's doing in a believer now. So we won't need to think far to think of what will be the content of prophecy in the New Testament. What will be the content of Psalms? What will be the content of our songs? The content will have to do with what Jesus accomplished, because the Spirit that we have received will only testify in the light of what Jesus has accomplished. Hallelujah. That's why if you are a believer and you're not conversant with the revelation of scriptures, you're going to have a problem adequately communicating the inspiration that the Spirit gives. The inspiration is what the Spirit will give. The words will come from you. So the Spirit will speak to you, through you, but the words will be words that come from a mind that's already saturated with the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the only way not to prophesy amiss. So if I'm singing a song, and in that song, my mind is renewed with the reality of my redemption in Christ, I won't mix up the tenses. I won't postpone deliverance. I won't postpone my salvation. And so we said on Friday night about the fact that the reason why we seem to be particular about the song we sing, and some of us be like, you know, they are too particular, they are too strict. Well, the truth is this. The songs you sing repeatedly have a bearing on your consciousness. He may not be fully aware, but he does. There are songs that we sing. In fact, I've discovered that most Nigerians, it's not so much that the song they are listening to makes sense, it's because the melody is sweet. So the question is, if the melody is what you are really enjoying, can't you change the words to make sense to you? I mean, it just makes sense. Think about it. Can't you just change the words? Because the minute we hear a danceable tune, we just forsake the words. But the tune is not what is taking effect. It is the words that have a bearing on our lives and on our speech. That's what the problem is. So words can make or break you. So words are important. Why are we so particular about the content? Because you may think you are worshiping in spirit and you are worshiping in a lie. Worshiping in spirit and truth has to do with you worshiping within the confines of what God accomplished through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So whatever he hasn't accomplished, or whatever he didn't make available, shouldn't be part of what we sing. If we sing it, it's not called worship. It's called entertainment. You know, I heard the story of a choir master in the church and a local assembly pastor. You know, pastors can be very long-suffering. I've been telling him, stop singing this song. But now choir, and you know, he's one of these choir masters who seems to have a ministry outside the local. So he believes he's a gospel artist. How many of you know a lot of people that we call gospel artists? They are artists without the gospel. You need to remove the gospel behind it and just say, artist. You are a music artist. Because there's nothing gospel about what they are saying. So his favorite song was Precious Jesus, Don't Forget Me. Does it sound nice? Yes. Is it real? Is it true? No. If you don't know that that is wrong, you have not been coming to this church for a long time. Precious Jesus, don't forget me. In the first place, in the New Testament, it's not your business to pray or to say that. It is his business to keep you. Hallelujah. He's one that said, I will never leave. He didn't ask you to say, make him say. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He made that move on his own. By his resurrection. So it may sound like, you know, have you heard people praying that kind of prayer? God will not forget. It's useless prayer. Whose ability should you doubt? That of God or man? He will never leave, he never forsake. His faithfulness is beyond the heavens, beyond the realm of time. Glory to God. And you have to learn to take him at his word. So the songs that we sing, the warnings of those songs matter. So it's not wrong for you to enjoy the melody of a song, but then you have to learn in the light. In fact, let me put it this way. If your heart is saturated with the truth of the New Testament, when they are singing a song, no matter how sweet it is, when the words don't line up, your heart should prick you. You should know this. You're not comfortable. You may not quickly pick it, but like, there's something about what they are saying that's not really right. But the song is sweet, though. When there's something about what they say that's not really being, it's until you pick up that maybe a verse or line, most of the time a tense. The tense used may be wrong. And in that tense, in the songs that we sing, is a revelation of God's salvation in and through us. So we don't joke with lyrics, we don't joke with words, we don't just say, let's just sing it. No. There's a song in tandem with the truth as revealed in the New Testament. We saw on Friday night, you as it quickened together, you were raised together, you were made to sit together. So you will sing less songs like God lift me high. Where you are, you can't get any higher. You understand? Now again, it looks like good prayer. Yeah, God should lift you high. It sounds like it's good. But until you now look at it in light of what he has said, somebody has to be lying. You or him, I vote for you. Because not that he won't lie, he can't lie. Hallelujah. You are seated with him far above all principalities and powers. Glory to God. So you can't get more lifted than where you are right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's important that we recognize what it means when we pay particular attention to this thing. So it says, verse 20 again, says, giving thanks always. Say always. One of the characteristics of the spirit we is that you'll find yourself giving thanks always. Notice you spend time speaking to yourself in psalms, which are hymns, which contain spiritual songs. It says, giving thanks always. Always means irrespective of the situation. Thanksgiving is how you approach. That means your mind is saturated. with the truths that came from the psalm that you gave forth, that you are conscious that the same way you overcame in the past, you overcame now also. So you overcome now also. Hallelujah. Giving thanks always. Say always. Say always. Remember, the Bible is instructing us, one doesn't mean to be filled and to keep being filled. So if I was filled once and I don't maintain a spirit-filled life, what happens is that I gave thanks last week, so I was spiritual. But when the next challenge comes and I don't maintain the spirit-filled experience, I will find myself acting contrary to my nature. I may find myself murmuring and complaining. Why? I have forgotten what manner of man I am. I have departed from the revelation of where I am in Christ. So though I'm a victor, I walk like a victim. Giving thanks always simply means that at that point in time, when you allow yourself to be filled again, thanksgiving on a continual basis is one of the characteristics of someone who is filled or who keeps being filled with the Spirit. It means his thanksgiving is independent of situations and circumstances. He's giving thanks because he has light, he has a revelation. Glory to God. He keeps giving thanks. Glory to God. We won't have to caution believers not to use curse words. We won't have to caution believers not to use insulting words if they stay filled with the Spirit. So keeping filled means there's a consciousness that no matter what happens outside, what has taken place inside is superior. And you're dominated, not by what takes place outside, but what has taken place where? Inside your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it says, keeping filled with Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. Say making melody. Say making melody. That means manufacturing it. So as you open your mouth to speak, remember we showed us something. That how are we sure that when he says psalms here, he's primarily talking about singing? Because every time he mentions the same thing in other texts, he doesn't have hymns and spiritual songs. It simply is psalms. That means he's talking about everything. What it means by hymns and spiritual songs is he's talking about the same psalm. So we saw something, I think 2 weeks back. Look at Acts chapter 16. Glory to God. Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, I read from verse 23, sake of our time. We know a story of Paul and Silas, okay, in Macedonia. It says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners had them. The word praise here that's translated in the English to praise is the same word that you find in that Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 or verse 19 that speaks about hymns. When what he calls praise is actually a hymn or a psalm rather. The same word in the Greek, the same word. The word praise is the same word as psalm. So they prayed and they sang psalms. That's what it means. They first prayed and they sang psalms. That means there was a consciousness, there was an answer to their prayer. That's what it means. They prayed and they sang what? Psalms. Look at what happened next. Verse 26, and suddenly there was one, a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. So there was something in the psalm that was given by the Spirit that released a manifestation of God's power to such a degree that there was an earthquake that took place geographically only in the prison. It wasn't a citywide earthquake. It was an earthquake that placed just in the prison. Where did it come from? From the psalm that Paul and Silas sang. That means there was power in their utterance, or their utterance opened them up to that dimension of power. Hallelujah. Now that power, listen carefully, wasn't something God just had to manifest that day. It was something that was waiting for them to express. I need you to pay attention now. It was something that was waiting for them to express. You know, we have antecedents in the Old Testament. That means that in the Old Testament, we find scriptures where things happened, instructions were given, but those who received it because of their nature, because they were yet to be born again, they didn't understand the laws and principles of God. So if you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have the story of Jehoshaphat and nation of Israel. When three armies came against them, Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared and declared fasting and prayer in the whole of Israel. So they began to pray. While they were praying, we have what's called a summary of their prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah. And while they were praying, listen carefully, God's answer to the prayer was that one of the psalmists among them, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he began to prophesy. What was he prophesying? The answer to their prayer. So while they were praying, the Spirit of God responded by allowing one of them to prophesy. Not that they had God's audible voice speak from heaven. That's like a picture to show us how does the principle of God's power work. It foreshadowed. There was never any other place where it was called that way. One of them, Jahaziel, the Bible says, the Spirit of God came upon him and he began to prophesy. And what he said was this: they will not need to fight in the battle. He said to them to go out against the army as though they will fight. So, because it was through that utterance that instructions came, the very next day, Jehoshaphat told all the psalmists to go before the army with songs and praise. God told them, you will not need to fight. You will not need to fight. Where did the answer come from? From the prophecy that came from one of them, for the whole nation. And it was a very real issue. Glory to God. It was a very real issue. So let's read from here now. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Haki ye all ye now ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thou say the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Next verse. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Next verse. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see what? The salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. Now, that instruction was, stand ye still. How did they carry out this song, stand still? Because in the scriptures, if you follow what happened next, stand still doesn't mean stay immovable in one spot. That's all it means. Stand still doesn't mean just stay like this, just be looking. No, he said stand still and see. Stand still and see means that stand still and unveil before you is a salvation which God prepared for the situation before the situation took place. You need to understand that. Listen carefully. When they started praying, was when God now said, Gabriel, Michael, come. This is serious. What am I going to do? What do you think should happen now? No. Because God can be caught by surprise. As a matter of fact, if you had the time, we'll go through the Old Testament, you will see that what God was simply manifesting was something he had instructed them under the law of Moses. He had told them, whenever you are going out to battle, make sure that if there's anyone among you who is fearful, let him stay home. If there's anyone whose heart fails him, let him stay back. If there's anyone who is not willing to go, let him not go with you. He says, but when you go out and you see an army that is mightier than you in numbers, don't look at the number, for the Lord your God has gone ahead of you to win the battle for you. It was an instruction. So through fear, what was Jezebel doing? He was simply praying in the light of that instruction. That was what he was doing. It was already written in the law. So it was something they were meant to practice. So it was a law that when they were going to battle, because it wasn't coming by human strength, God told them in law of Moses that they should go to every battle singing songs. Glory to God. Singing songs. These people were spiritually dead. But what he was trying to encourage them was to believe in him and to exercise faith. It takes faith for you to see an army and you are singing. Think about it. It takes faith. So look at what he said. When he says, stand, you see, look at what he did next. Look at verse 18, quickly. And Gizan bowed his head with his head to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Next verse. And all the Levites, the children of Kohath, and the children of the Kohites, stood up to praise the Lord God with a loud voice on high. Next verse. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Joseph stood and said, hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Next verse. And when he had consulted with people, he appointed what? Singers that should praise what? The beauty of God's holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, let's mark, what does it say? Praise the Lord for what? Hallelujah. So the word stand ye still, that phrase means praise God. Stand still is don't fret. Stand still is don't allow anxiety to set in. Stand still means praise God instead. That's what it means. Hallelujah. So it was a principle already established in scriptures. The only difference was how it manifested in the New Testament. It was an established principle in the scriptures. So look at the next verse. When they began to what? Sing and to praise, the Lord did what? Set ambushments against them. So when they began to sing and praise, listen carefully, out of the praise and their song came the deliverance from the works of that. Anyway, that means that if they didn't sing and praise, the deliverance will not what? Manifest. Listen carefully. I didn't say that their song and their praise gingered God. You know, that's how carnal reasoning. That when God heard something, it's me they are praising like this. Gabriel, move. Michael, where are you? Leave that assignment. Come. The praise here is too much. I've heard this statement that said that if you pray, angels will show up. But if you praise, people are carnal. People are so carnal. That it's God that will come down. Come down to do what? You already have a spirit. Hallelujah. So he's not saying that if they praise me, I will now. No, he's saying, remember when I said it. That when you praise is an expression of your faith in God's delivering power. It is what I said that will bring about the manifestation of power. Because, you know, I think it's in Luke chapter 1 when the angel came to Mary and he said, for with God nothing shall be what? Impossible. The original story says that for with God no word of God shall be void of ability to perform, to perfect it. So when God said that in their praises will be the deliverance, deliverance was waiting on their praises. It wasn't waiting on God. Their singing was their way of demonstrating their faith. Inside their praises was the deliverance already planned by God for them in all situations. So in Acts chapter 16, when Saul, Paul and Silas were singing psalms, inside the psalm, they didn't know how the deliverance would come. I dare say that they were not necessarily even looking for deliverance in that sense. But inside the psalm, by the spirit of prophecy, came the deliverance that fulfilled the vision that Paul had already seen before he came to Macedonia. What was the vision? He saw a man appear in the vision and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now try to imagine this way. You are trying to obey God and follow God, and then you enter into trouble. It will look like you miss God. A man appeared. Come to Macedonia and help us. With the others that gathered with Paul, Paul in fellowship with them, they all determined that I think God is leading us to Macedonia to go and minister there. So when they got to that place, the next thing was that as they were ministering, they were already succeeding. Then they cast out a demon out of a woman who had the spirit of divination. Suddenly, they were arrested. Suddenly, they were beaten with many stripes. Suddenly, they were thrown into jail in the same place that God led them. So it looked as though the plan of God wasn't going to work. But Paul understood how the power of God works. Say amen. Amen. They prayed and they sang praises, or they sang psalms. When they sang, the power of God manifested. As we read further in Acts chapter 16, something interesting happened. The same help, the same plan that God had for that place in Macedonia, church started where? In prison. It started with the household of the jailer. And I'm sure many of the prisoners who went to where Paul was, they also got saved too. So what God said started in the most unlikely of places, in a place where they were meant to be persecuted and tormented, right in the heart of prisoners where church started. Because no word of God, hallelujah, shall be void of one fulfilling an ability to come to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm showing us that singing psalms is not just to, you know, comfort yourselves when things are just going by. No, singing psalms is where the answer is. Look at Ephesians 1 quickly. Ephesians 1. Let's read from verse 18. I want to show us two things there. Let's read from verse 17. Now the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The hands of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Next verse. And what is what? The exceeding greatness of his power towards what? Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Next verse. Which he wrought, is it in the past, future, or present tense? Okay, so he's saying the exceeding greatness of power which was released, which became operational when God raised Jesus from the dead. Remember, we said that the foundation for utterances, the foundation for expressing things of the Spirit, is what? The resurrection of Jesus. So the resurrection of Jesus made you a believer, got you full of the Spirit. That same resurrection allows you to speak forth in supernatural utterances. Why? All the utterances are pointing to one thing. Jesus is risen and he has been glorified. Hallelujah. So here he now says the exceeding greatness of his power. So a believer is someone who has power surrounding him. Power in him, power surrounding him. He now says, but you may not be aware or conscious of it. So in the place of prayer, you're praying that your eyes of understanding will be flooded with light, so that you may know what is the expectation behind the call you have in Christ, and what the riches of God's glory, how it is placed within you as a believer. And then he now talks about the exceeding greatness. That word exceeding means when you throw something beyond the mark, which means that what is required, for instance, to pay for goods that you are trying to purchase, let's assume it's like $50,000, and then somebody came and dropped $5 billion. That's what that word power means. Exceeding greatness. It uses about five words to describe the word power there. Exceeding greatness of power, which is towards what? Who believe. So, towards you now, in Christ, every day is power that you cannot exhaust. That means you can never be in a situation, in a circumstance, that you will ever exhaust all the power that God has put at your disposal. Let me rephrase it this way. Why do some enjoy more of the power than others? They don't have more power, they know more about the power. You know what I said? I was reading over the weekend about a woman, her name is Heidi Baker, and she teaches the gospel in simplicity. She's a missionary to Mozambique, one of the poorest nations in Africa. She teaches gospel in simplicity. They asked her, how come in your mission work, the natives that you have raised and trained, how come you have that many testimonies of people raised from the dead? Over 800 raised from the dead. So he showed them, said that, well, most of the people who I train and minister to are local bush pastors. They are not looking for glamour. They are not looking for congregation. They are not looking for cars. They just have a simple faith in Christ Jesus. That when they go and evangelize, like I have taught them to do, they go in some places and some people will tell them, well, this baby just died. Can you do something? They will take baby, they will lock themselves without food and water, if necessary, for 2 or 3 days, and they will bring baby out alive. He said they don't have anything to make them doubt the power of God. So they always said over 100 people raised from the dead. Now, here's the issue. You know, we like saying things like, he has this special anointing. He said, it's not me. It's the local pastors that were trained. So you can't say she has a special. All that is special is that she was sent to Mozambique. And it's based on assignment. But she was saying, I'm not the one who is being responsible. He said, we have had food multiplied many times. So we have offers we're catching to. Thousands of offers we're catching to. Said, there was one time all we had was a little supply of rice, which we had to believe for. And then one of the children, baby girl, came and said that, can we have meat? It was faith that even God raised in first place. Said, you are even asking for meat. We said that, let's listen to her. And they prayed. And meat was supplied, enough for the children to take home. So many times the food will be prepared, will multiply when it's being cooked. It was always more than enough. Hallelujah. Now, why are you not believing for that? You have food in your house. You have food in your house. Yes. If you are living in a war-torn area where stray bullet can kill, you'll be more conscious of angelic protection. You know what it means to be have the exceeding greatness of God's power. Hallelujah. Exceeding greatness of God's power at work. So I would say there's exceeding great power that is over and above what you will need in a lifetime was deposited by the resurrection of Jesus. But it says knowledge is what controls the expression of that power. So when you come with any challenge, why will the pastor tell you all things are possible? Is banking on his revelation of that power. Glory to God. Say, I bank on the revelation of God's power, a power that's unending, a power that can never fail. Hallelujah. Exceeding greatness of his power. So if the same spirit that brought us a consciousness of that power is the spirit by which you speak forth psalms, then within the psalm, therefore, will be a release of ability to back up whatever Christ has accomplished. Glory to God. I had a testimony of a missionary that was going to China. And back then in those days, it was forbidden to bring in Bibles. So I think the cargo was delayed, and the vehicle they were taking to that side of, part of the world was filled with Bibles. And the minute they catch you, there are two things. If they arrest you, you are fortunate. They may shoot you on the spot because it's a communist country and they forbid Bibles. So he was thinking, what are we going to do? These people are already at the checkpoint. They were drawing very close to the checkpoint. And if you check the vehicle, there was Bible everywhere, which he was smuggling in. So he began to pray in the spirit. As he was praying, an angel appeared and said, don't worry, I will take care of it for you. You know, when you see gun, you see security guards, you are still thinking, the angel you saw is talking, I'm dreaming again. But it was when he started praying that the angel appeared. He said, I will take care of it for you. So they go to that checkpoint, and the first one that came to check the vehicle, instead of looking into the vehicle that they normally do and say, open the window, just look at me and say, where have you been? It's been so long. Somebody doesn't know from anywhere. It's been so long. I've not seen you. You know, you first take taken aback before you also they say, man, how now? I've been wondering, where have you been also? Some of you don't know. You better play along. This is how your deliverance manifests. The angel drew you from the resurrection life that is in Christ Jesus and delivered that missionary. That's what happened. It has happened many times. People supernaturally protected, divine interventions, because people believed in God's ability. And Bible calls it the exceeding greatness of his power. Dr. K. Nagin spoke about a meeting. He said, if you've been in those kind of meetings, you don't want to be in a normal service again. He said he gave a message in tongues in his particular meeting they were having, and the pastor of the church interpreted. He gave another message, the pastor interpreted. He said the third time he gave a message, the pastor interpreted, everybody had their audible sound over the auditorium. Everybody in the wheelchair section got up. Everybody that was on crutches got up. Everybody lying down paralyzed got up. Everybody that was backsliding was restored. Everyone who was a sinner was saved. One sound. Hallelujah. That's wholesale. No detail. Wholesale. All things are possible. Glory to God. But notice where it started as they spoke. So there's something therefore about yielding to the infilling of the Spirit, because out of it will come fruits, results, manifestation of God's power beyond what you have thought. What is backing it up? Exceeding greatness of his one, of his power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me show you something in the book of Psalms. Quickly, Psalm 89. You know, when we started this series, we said, when you look into the Holy Scriptures, when the Bible says Holy Scriptures, it's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, the prophecy of the prophets. So we have the prophecy and the promise inside the Old Testament spoken by the prophets. Okay, in the book of Acts, we have some experiences. And then in the epistles, we have what we call the teaching or the doctrine of how those experiences are. So in those days, we've seen in the book of Ephesians, now, about the Bible says a believer is meant to keep being filled. Hallelujah. See, being filled with the Spirit is my responsibility. Maintaining a spirit-filled life is my responsibility. I act on the word of God. Hallelujah. So it doesn't happen to you. You make it happen. You choose to yield. You know how to begin. Where it will take you, especially you may not know, but you will learn as you go. Hallelujah. You will learn as you go. So many times, God's power is waiting on you to express it. How do you express? By speaking. That means that you will never meet a situation that is beyond let me put it this way. You will never find yourself in a situation that's beyond what supernatural utterance will deliver you from. You will never find. There's no such situation. That situation will have to surpass the power God demonstrated at the resurrection of Jesus. And there's no such situation. That's what it means. Psalm 89, verse 13. Quickly. Thou hast a mighty hand, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. That's authority. Let's read on quickly. We're going to verse 15. Justice and judgment are the habitation of your throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Next verse. Blessed is, this is prophecy now, the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, where? In the light of thy... This is one of those prophetic scriptures. It says there is a people that will come. How do you know their uniqueness? They have a revelation of the joyful sound. The sound is talking about their supernatural utterances. They have a revelation of the joyful sound. It now says, notice what else is unique about them. They will walk in the light of your countenance. What is he calling countenance? Don't let King James disturb you. Nobody uses the word countenance anymore. The word countenance is the word face. It also stands for presence. But since they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your word, countenance. So let's look at another place in scriptures where that word is also used that way. Look at Psalm 16. And the beauty of Psalm 16 is that, let's read from verse 8, is that the prophecy that speaks about Jesus. It's a psalm of David when he was prophesying about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. See what it says. Are you there? All right, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Next verse. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine only one to see corruption. Next verse. Thou wilt show me. So look at that. Thou wilt show. Futuristic. You will show me. So whatever he's speaking of here is not something that's taking place to him, in him. It's something that he was looking forward to. So David is prophesying. See what he says. He said, you will show me the path of life in thy presence. In thy presence. That word presence is the same word that's used for countenance here. In thy presence is fullness of joy at thy right hand. And that represents authority. There are what? Pleasures for evermore. Glory to God. Now, this was the same psalm that Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2 when he was explaining to the nation of Israel, to the Jews, the resurrection of Jesus. He began to teach them that what you've seen on that day of Pentecost, when they began to speak with other tongues, he first started from the book of Joel. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He used a few verses. Then he jumped over to the Psalms of David, because Psalms of David explains it even better and further than Joel explained it. So look at the book of Acts now. Are you coming along this morning? All right. Book of Acts, quickly. You know, the more understanding you have about this, as we started in the series, said that if you have the foundational understanding and you want to operate in the Spirit, there will be tremendous boldness. It's like you have determined the end before the beginning. Before you start, you know, this is where we will end. There will be deliverance. Listen carefully. Have you been prayer meetings where people say that? They say, let us praise God and pray in the Spirit. And somebody says that, see, the problem is much. Let's pray real prayer. Have you been there before? People that are not used to the ways of the Spirit speak that way. People who have never experienced God's power in difficult situations, yielding to the Spirit, speak that way. Listen carefully. The Spirit you're yielding to, the record of scriptures about that same Spirit, is the same Spirit that parted the Red Sea. The same Spirit that supplied them for 40 years and they didn't have want. It's the same Spirit. Don't think it's another Spirit. It's the same Spirit. So you are now filled with that Spirit. It's not coming from outside. It's rising up within you consciously. And you are taught intelligently how to release the ability. That means if you don't get answers, who is at fault? Who is at fault? So listen carefully now to what I'm about to say. When you are not practicing, guess who is being cheated? You. Because you won't have boldness in the day of judgment. The day of judgment is not the day that Jesus will come. It's the day when you have a crisis and you need answers. And it is what you are used to that you will practice. If what you are used to is calling 20 people as prayer partners, that's what you will do. If what you're used to is expressing the Spirit, for within the Spirit is the answer, that's what you will do. So practice usually shows when you are in a crisis situation. If that's how you have been living, when it's time to release God's power, that is the same thing you will do, and you will never fail to have an answer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, so we're teaching principles that never fail. We're teaching the Word of God. This is how it works. This is how it works. The earthquake was no coincidence. The deliverance was no coincidence. The intervention was no coincidence. It was because the deliverance was orchestrated by the Spirit of God, which was released through supernatural utterance. Glory to God. So Paul didn't start praying, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? No. The hills are within you now. And the help is where? Within you now. So he spoke it forth. And the help manifested. Say with me, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. You have to shift your focus from outside to within. Within me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. All right, Psalm 2 now, quickly. Let's start from verse 20. All right, let's move on to verse 24. All right, because of time. It says, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding by it. He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. For David speaketh concerning him. So Paul, by the Spirit of God, is now unveiling the Holy Scriptures, which was a mystery, which means many of the Psalms of David were a mystery to people, because what David was saying didn't always have a bearing on what he was going through. There were things David said, it didn't make sense to people. So the Bible calls it a mystery, because they didn't know that he wasn't speaking about himself. That because he was a prophet, he was seeing into the future about the things that will happen. For instance, when David said in Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, which Lord, who is Lord of wood? They were, this man, is he okay? Is he okay? The Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, your Lord, who is the Lord of your Lord? Sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies. As a prophet, he saw it and he spoke it. So Paul, by the Spirit, now is telling us that the things that David said, a number of them were not even concerning him, but because that's God's way of revealing truth from the Old Testament, he was speaking concerning someone, Christ. Hallelujah. So see what he says now. For David speaketh, verse 25, concerning him, I foresaw the Lord before my... So who was he speaking about in Psalm 16? Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's put it this way. The words that were in the mouth of Christ when he went to hell, those same words David, by the Spirit, not only saw, he spoke it out. Without what David said, we won't know what was Jesus saying as he was descending into the grave, as he went into hell. David has spoken those words, and Christ now spoke it when he was in the belly of the earth. See what it says. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. I wish I could just stop at verse 26. How, let me ask you a question. How can your tongue be glad? Think a little bit. How can your tongue be glad? How can your tongue be glad? How do I show you my tongue is glad? Is it not by what I say? So he says my tongue is glad. He's telling you that utterances were coming out of Christ as it was going down. The same utterances that were coming out as it was coming out. You can't say somebody's tongue is glad. Does your tongue do, does it dance? No, he's talking about utterances that were coming out. Gladness was expressed through my tongue. That was what he was saying. Hallelujah. See what he says next. Moreover, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, think that wilt thou suffer that I only want to see corruption. Glory to God. Next verse, quickly. Thou hast made known to me the ways of... Now, listen to the difference. Look at how Paul changed this. Sorry, Peter changed this. In the book of Psalm, that we just read, Psalm 16, he says, thou will make known. Look at the way Paul changed it here. Now, he said, sorry, Peter. Why would he say Paul? Peter changed and said that, thou hast made known. When did God make known? By raising Jesus from the dead. What's the only ways of life? The resurrection of Jesus. Do you see the switch? So instead of quoting and saying, thou will, he said, thou hast made known. Why was Peter quoting that way? It had already taken place when Peter was telling about it. Glory to God. If you understand, let me see that. It had taken place already. That subtle difference is a major key to unlocking the New Testament. Peter just said in that singular verse that everything David spoke will happen has happened. So when you're reading Psalm 27 verse 1, if you read beyond verse 1, you enter trouble. Except you know how to interpret. I hope you know. Have you seen what follows verse 1? Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light. And my whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength. Whom shall I be? What does verse 2 say? What will happen to them? That's no longer Christ speaking. The verse 1 was David revealing Christ. Verse 2 is David revealing David. Do you understand? Do you understand? So that is why people take Psalms and do all kinds of things with Psalms. That's the book of Psalms. That's why you need to have your own Psalm. So that you won't be doing your own. So your feeling will not, oh Lord, arise. Let all my enemies be scattered. And who you are thinking about is one physical enemy somewhere. In fact, your boss. God is watching you, knows the number of your house. In other words, there were things they said. Once they departed from Christ, he also departs. Whatever they said that wasn't in Christ was not quoted in the New Testament. That was David in personal trouble. That was David exercising his rights as an old covenant man who didn't know anything else more than what he said. So, are we sitting there? So, thou will not leave my soul in hell. You know, when you suffer the Holy Ghost's correction, thou hast made known unto me the will. Thou shalt make me full of joy with what? Your countenance. So, with thy countenance means that with your resurrection. With your resurrection. Hallelujah. With your resurrection. That's what it means. So, our joy is in the resurrection of Jesus. Our song is the resurrection of Jesus. Our preservation is the resurrection of Jesus. Our deliverance is the resurrection of Jesus. Our prosperity, both spirit and soul, are where? In the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You will make me full of joy with your countenance. That one countenance is not face. It's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. That's what it's talking about. So everything we say now, supernaturally, when it comes to utterances, is proceeding from that resurrection. That's where the light and the... So Psalm 89, go back to Psalm 89. Look at verse 15 again. Psalm 89 verse 15. So you see that when Paul is speaking in Ephesians 5, the people that David was prophesying are already here. Say, I'm one of them. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Say, I have the joyful sound. I know the joyful sound. The joyful sound is within me. They shall walk. So David is confident, or the psalmist is confident, that you will walk in the light of what? That resurrection. That's where your joyful sound is. Look at the next verse. So you can't miss it. In thy name. What is his name? What is his name? What is his name? They are afraid to say Jesus. He said, if we say Jesus, the pastor will say that that's not the name. His name is Jesus. He's also called son. Don't be afraid. You are in church. See, you see Jesus, you see Jesus. His name is what? Jesus. He's also called the Son of God. So he says, in thy name shall they rejoice. How? Hallelujah. Say all day. And the day is not Tuesday or Wednesday or Sunday. All day is throughout this season. What's that season? In Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be. Part of that rejoicing is speaking psalms. That's rejoicing. Glory to God. That's rejoicing. You are affirming. You're declaring what God has done in Christ. So he says, in thy name shall they rejoice all day, in thy righteousness. Say, I am his righteousness in Christ Jesus. In his righteousness, they shall be what? Exalted. Look at the next verse. And we stop them. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. I want you to imagine all this spoken by the psalmist fulfilled in you in Christ Jesus. So he has predicted that there is a people, they know how to walk in the light of Christ's resurrection. They know how to yield to supernatural utterances. They are never stranded. They are never stuck. There is no situation that can surmount them. They take answers from that resurrection. They confront situations with the answers that comfort, and all the answers are hiding inside their utterances. So as long as a believer is speaking, 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Glory to God. So as long as you are yielding to the Spirit. What does the Spirit inside the believer represent? Christ resurrected, risen from the dead. No longer to go back to the dead. Hallelujah. That's why your salvation is secure. That means your deliverance is secure. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 13. Quickly. And we'll stop there. Hebrews chapter 13. From verse 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Are you there? Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let me read it to you in the classic amplified version. Let's see what he says. He says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any way, any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Never relax my hold upon you. Assuredly not. You want me to read it again? you have no excuse. You know, it's like God is swearing. It's comical to imagine God is doing that. I really don't know why people there. And they think that's a swear. How does this connote? I mean, how does it connote here? Like, the person is lying through his teeth again. If not takes a knife, he doesn't mean anything. He's still lying. But here is God now. The truth of his word is the foundation of his throne. And he says, I will not in any way leave you nor forsake you. I will not let you down. Assuredly not. There's no stronger affirmation that you can find in the scriptures. I will never leave you. You know what it means not to let you down? It means when you're standing in faith, I will not fail you. Your faith will work. You will produce results. Results will never fail to come. You will never find yourself standing upon my word and the answers will not come. That's what he's saying. I will not fail you. I will not allow you to be ashamed. Hallelujah. And then the next verse now says that. Look at the next verse. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Glory to God. Say, the Lord is my helper. My help is consistent. My help never fails. My help never goes on vacation. My help is always with me. My help is alive forevermore. My help is seated at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We went all that route for only one thing. When you are yielding to supernatural utterances, you're not fooling around. You're not playing nursery rhymes. You're dealing with tremendous power. In God's wisdom, he has ordained that the believer will express tremendous power through what he says by the Spirit. Why did God make it that way? That's how the earth was created. What order is he following? Before Christ's season came, before he was ever born physically, he had spoken by the same Spirit through many to show you it's an ordained pattern that God uses. He will say it first. He's saying it will bring the events to pass. Hallelujah. But we are in a better place because we're not just saying for it to come to pass. We're saying because it has come to pass. How can he fail? That was the difference between you and David. He was speaking so it will come to pass. But you are not saying for it to come to pass. You are saying after you realize it has come to pass. So it is as though through your words, you are measuring out the ability of God. You look at what appears to be barrenness face to face and you laugh. That a power backing me up, barrenness can't stand beside it. You look at failure to the face. I mean, something happened at the office and you know, between now and tomorrow, you may not have a job. But you thank God because you see that between now and tomorrow, it's too much time to have victory. You know, it's too much time to have victory. Between now and tomorrow, I will speak. And victory will manifest. You understand that deed that's about to go wrong, I'm about to lose all the proceeds. You have between now and tomorrow. That's all the time you need. That I will pray in the Spirit. I will speak in the Spirit also. And I will bring out the answer and the solution. For within that which I will speak is God's wisdom. It's God's answer. It's God's blessing. I will speak it out. I will yield to the utterance. Answers will come. Glory to God. Yeah, I shared with us a number of years ago, about when my kids were still small. And you know, when children are small, they can't tell you exactly what is wrong. You just know something is wrong because they keep crying. Their major language is cry. You know, you don't know what's happening to the baby. You don't know exactly what it is. You can feel temperature, but you don't know exactly the cause. And it may have started at a time that, and it's good to take children to the hospital, but it starts at the time when it's even too late to go out. 12:30 a.m. in the morning. What do you do? The same way you have a father who watches over you, he never sleeps, doesn't slumber. You know the answer is in him. Every single time. And I mean without exception. I'll pray by faith. And I'll carry them. And I'll go to the living room and sing until they fall asleep. They wake up in the morning, they're fine. The crying stops, everything ceases. The answer is in the song. The answer is in the praise. The answer is in the worship. Glory to God. God has placed the answer in your heart. It will come out of your lips. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They will walk, O Lord, in the light of your resurrection. His resurrection is everything to us. So there's no situation that can confirm the resurrection of Jesus. None. Through him, all the promise of God are what? Yes. So if you are speaking for supernatural senses, even the scriptures you are reading in Isaiah that look so mighty, so strong, they are fulfilled in your utterances. I like quoting Isaiah 41 verse 10 because I realize it has now been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Fear not, for I'm with thee. Be not afraid, for I'm your God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold you with the hand of my righteousness. You notice that Hebrews 13 that we just read, verse 5 and 6, you know it has fulfilled it. So that we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The utterance will bear witness, testimony that the Lord is your helper. He will never leave you, no one forsake you. What else will the utterance do? It will strengthen your convictions when you don't feel like help is available. Someone says, does that happen? You have not been in trouble long enough. How many of you have you been here? Where you've been there. A lunar cresto safra kuta liatishte. Eka sukalaba. Ngensuma len yukuta ishte. Eshi nukunga latia. For you see, like a father who has made abundant provision for a child that is going in lack, at his child that's doing without the benefit and the blessing, so does the father feel when you walk as though he is not with you. For he is with you by the Spirit. He is with you through salvation. He is with you through redemption. So act who you are. Act like you know he is with you. For his ability is at your disposal. His ability will put you over in every situation. Victory, therefore, for you is not that which you receive once a while, once in a month, once in a situation. Victory in him is your constant companion. Victory in him is a constant song you ought to sing. And so learn to sing. Make your mind aware. Let your mind be saturated with knowledge of this victory. That same victory will bail you out no matter the situation. For there's yet to be a crisis upon the earth. There's yet to be a situation that will arise that the victory that you have in him will not prevail over. For you are more than a conqueror. You are one with the Holy One. You are one with the victorious one. Let that victory resonate in your heart. Let that victory produce a laugh. Let it produce rejoicing in the light. For your rejoicing is not in vain. Your rejoicing is a substance of the victory that he has accomplished for you. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 46 has been fulfilled because of that. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. That means if you see trouble, his help is even more present than the trouble. That's what it means. Don't let that depart from your consciousness. That's what Psalms does. It illuminates your mind. You're so conscious, even when you don't need any help, that he is my helper. He's not helping me because I qualify. He's helping me because he qualified me. It's my qualification. Hallelujah. You know, we're instructed this morning in the exhortation. Never in a situation as difficult, look to yourself. I've not studied. I've not prayed. I've not been going to church. Be coming to church. I've not been coming to church. No. Why is his love perfect? Because the love is not counting on how you act and what you do to manifest. That's why the love is perfect. Perfect love casts out fear. A love that doesn't take your actions into consideration before it blesses you. Be conscious in this season. Even this 7 months, even this other half of the year, victories are in your account. Draw out freely. Draw out freely. Abundance is your account. Men station strategically to help you, to assist you. When they hear your name, they will offer assistance. When they hear your name, they will show you favor. When they hear your name, they will assist you in all areas. When they hear your name, they will promote your name and mention in right places. For they are positioned there by the Father. For you are East, the apple of his eye. So rejoice always. Do not let a frown come near your face. You are the Father's joy. You are the Father's jewel. You are the crown of his works. What manner of love he has bestowed upon you that you should be called the son. Delight yourself in the fact that you are a son. For you are the son, and the angels are at your beck and call. Act like a son. Sing like a song. Shout like a song. Praise like a song. Rejoice like a song. And you will see all that accrues, all that is a portion for a son, will begin to manifest. Onana kure stile kashte ezuza krato mo moka beniga kasiya nashiya naga. A back pain is being healed right now. A back pain is being healed right now. A back pain. Something is being removed from your back right now. As a cause of the pain, and things are being adjusted right now. Right now. Right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Act like a son. and the recommendation about you would change, even at your place of work. Act like a son. When there were no sales, sales will come. Act like a son. The wisdom to move things forward will be made manifest. Act like a son. Never act like the decision they takes. Act like who you are in him. His resurrection is the price I was paid for you to be who you are. You are a son and you will always be. So your rejoicing will know no boundaries, no limits. Your rejoicing extends beyond the challenge or the situation. Your rejoicing is of him who is seated, and his sitting is your perfection. So act like who you are in him, and it will be praise and melody to the Father's heart. Lift up your hands and bless him this morning. He died and rose, and so did I. I am who he says I am.